Hey, welcome everyone. This is Michael Sparks, and it's the Anzoil Dealer Training Call for Monday, February 16th, 2015. And we're excited that you're on our call tonight. If you're listening into this call via podcast like iTunes or Stitcher, be sure to visit our Anzoil Dealer website, training website, and by going to www.lube-direct.com. That's lube-direct, with the middle, you know. And then click on the logo for the dealer training website. There's only three choices to click when you go to lubedirect.com. And the dealer training site is the bottom link. It will take you to that site where all the calls are hosted, as well as other information to help you with your Anzoil business. Tonight's topic is how to maximize your Anzoil business and take advantage of home-based tax deductions. We're going to feature a special guest tonight. Since we're in the middle of tax season, I thought we'd have a professional tax person come on our program and talk a little bit about that. If you haven't completed your taxes for the year, or if you still have time to do a revision, if you already have done your taxes, you could maybe get some more money back. This person happens to be our tax preparer, and she lives in Clarksville, Tennessee here. She's a certified public accountant, that's a CPA, as well as a member of our local networking group. Let's welcome Cindy Cleaver. Hi, Cindy.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show tonight. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and what got you interested in becoming a CPA?
I very early on loved math and logic, and was actually going to be a math teacher in high school. And got into college and took my first accounting course and shifted gears and said, this is actually what I really enjoy. So I got my bachelor's degree and started working at various, with the government, different companies and things. And then during one of my PCS moves with my husband, who was in the Army for 9 years, I started working at a public accounting firm and just really fell in love with the variety and just the work. So I started pursuing my master's and just recently got my CPA certification.
Excellent. It takes a very special kind of person to be able to look at those numbers all day long. I guess that's what suits you. I look at them and my eyes start crossing. So I'm so thankful that we have somebody that excels like that to be able to take care of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get started here with the call, and I've got a few questions I'll ask you, and if you just want to give your thoughts and ideas on them, that would be great. But, everybody listening into the call tonight is either an Anzoil dealer, which is a home-based business, or they're thinking about being a Anzoil dealer. And so they, it's taking advantage of the taxes, the tax deductions and all that stuff for a home-based business is pretty important. And maybe you can give some insights, your thoughts on that. So how important is it for a home-based business owner, like an Anzoil dealer, to take advantage of the current IRS tax code?
Well, there is a lot of deductions or things that are available to home-based businesses. You have the biggest one being the home office deduction. You have mileage, meals, different things that as an employee, somebody working for a company, you wouldn't have access to because they provide workspace for you. Your commute to and from work isn't considered deductible in the IRS code. So a lot of the things in the code are built to help small businesses with tax deductions so that they can prosper, and it's a way for the government to encourage sole proprietorships.
Okay. I've heard it says the IRS, I've never looked at the IRS tax code. I'd rather be doing other things. But it said that there's only like 11 or 15 pages that talk about income, and the other, thousands and thousands of pages talk about how to not pay taxes on that income. So all the different deductions and everything. And so that's what I'm trying to say is the government is subsidizing you to build your Anzoil business as long as you follow the rules that they set in place, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, there's they're have a very small definition of income. Basically, unless it's excluded, it is included in your income. And then, like you said, there's the rest of it is basically built on telling you what you can and cannot deduct and how to deduct it. So there's a lot out there, and that's why it's really essential, actually, for you to have somebody who is familiar and has a network available to be able to navigate that and get the most out of the deductions that are available.
Oh, gotcha. I have kind of a little scenario here because I don't think a lot of people realize, so I start this little AMSL business, I might not be making any money in the first couple of years, and I think the government or the IRS realizes that it takes some years to build up an income that you actually can claim and all that stuff. So they do give you some leeway there. But let's just say most people start an AMSL business. They don't quit their day job. They keep a day job, and they build this on the side until eventually they decide to either take it full-time or they just keep it as a part-time home-based business their whole entire life, what have you. But let's just say somebody makes $50,000 a year, and in the first year of getting started with their business, getting their computer and their car decorated up and buying some clothing and some products and all this stuff, they say you have $10,000 in expenses. How much could they expect to get back from the IRS on top of, what they paid, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure. Well, that can tend to be a loaded question, but depending on how that $10,000 is spent, whether it's spent exclusively in startup costs, which there's a special rule about amortizing that, or if it's expenses that are part of the operating of the business once it's started, and so there's some income to offset that, it can be as little as a $100 reduction in your tax liability for the year, or depending on your tax bracket, or as much as $750. So if the full $10,000 were to be able to be deducted and in a 15% tax bracket, then you're looking at $1,500 worth of a reduction in your tax liability for that year.
Okay, wow. So $1,500 that you would have gotten back to help you build your business, offset some of those expenses that you had right off the bat is kind of an idea to go by there. That's very interesting. For someone who is new to a home-based business, what should they start out with right away? They wait until they're a couple years down the road. They know they should save a couple of receipts. But is there some kind of little plan to say, oh, I need to do this right away? And what are the main things they probably should start doing right away?
Well, the first thing would be mileage. A lot of times people that are starting off don't realize that any driving that they do that is business related, when they drive to a meeting with a potential new client or just anything like that, keeping a mileage log, the mileage can be a big deduction for a person because it's essentially you're having to put gas in your car anyways. That just happens. You do oil changes, you do maintenance on it. With making the mileage business miles, and you need to have a legitimate purpose for that write-off, but you get a write-off that's more in your pocket than what you're, because you've already spending out for gas.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely makes sense. And you think it could be also a change in mindset, which could force you to say, I'm going to start going out every day and finding customers everywhere I go. And if you change that mindset, like, oh, I just happened to get a customer, but, I went to Nashville to do something that's not business related. I get a customer. That's not allowed on the thing. But to say, I'm going to Nashville to get a customer in AMSOIL and then happen to have to stop to do something else, that's okay. So if you change that mindset everywhere you go that my plan is to get a new customer, that's going to help you build your business faster too, correct?
Sure, absolutely. It really is the mindset because before you start your own business, you don't really think of things as being deductible. And so it is a mindset change to know that, okay, mileage is deductible. If I meet with somebody and have a meal to discuss business, that meal can be deductible. So there certainly is the mindset and keep starting to keep all of your receipts. That's a big thing that I've actually gone through an audit here recently with a client. And the big thing that they were looking at is, where's the receipt? Where's the detailed itemized list of what you purchased? So keeping those receipts, everything that you buy that is business-related, has a business purpose, so that you make your tax return an audit-proof return, where if you were audited, you can substantiate everything that you've put on it.
Well, that makes perfect sense there. Basically covering your CYA, you know, covering your anatomy there. So you can is that what you're trying to say? You want to keep all those receipts and get them covered then, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And do you think, are there some pitfalls that somebody should look out for that, you know, they might think that, oh, this is a business deduction, or things that they should worry about that, you know, I always heard like, oh, you don't want to take the home off the deduction because that's going to trigger an audit or something like that. And, is that true, and are there other pitfalls that people should be aware of?
I think the biggest pitfall that small-time businesses fall into in the beginning is not keeping good enough records. Like we discussed, the mileage log is essential. Getting where you have your beginning odometer reading when you leave that day, your ending odometer reading, so then you have your mileage that you drove for business, and then writing its business purpose for that day. Keeping the receipts, having a bank account that's exclusive for the business so that you can track the incoming as income and the outgoing as expenses. Keeping personal and business separate so that if you were in an audit, it's easy for the IRS to track and make sure that there's not personal things being taken as deductions. So I think those are the biggest pitfalls that early business owners fall into. And you mentioned about the home office being a red flag for an audit, and that's actually absolutely not true. There are lots and lots of small businesses that take advantage of that home office deduction, and that is, it's just something that is offered, and it's expected when you work out of your home.
Okay, and as far as the home office, you don't have to take it all or none type of thing. You can take advantage of, for instance, the mortgage. I know that, like, I don't take the home office where I take it off of my mortgage, because then when I sell my house, I have to, like, pay that back or something that I don't really understand. But I do take, like, the I have a square footage of my house and a square footage of my office, and I get to take the electricity bill and the heat bill that requires to heat this portion of my home office. That's perfectly okay. But there is, what's it, can you explain that real quick about the mortgage thing? I don't quite understand.
Sure.
Maybe some other people have a question too.
There are three parts to the home office deduction. One is indirect expenses related to the office. So if your office is 100 square feet and your home is 1,000 square feet, then you get 10% of your mortgage interest, your home insurance, real estate taxes, and utilities and repairs of the home as a deduction. Then there are direct expenses. If you had a fax line that was specifically dedicated as a business fax line and that was all it was used for, then you could take 100% of the cost of that fax line as a home on your home office deduction. The third portion of the home office deduction is depreciation on your home. And it would also be allocated at the 10% proportion that the indirect expenses would go for. Now, the caution with taking the depreciation part of the home office deduction is what you had mentioned, that when you do sell your home later, the depreciation counts against you in a gain. When you sell your personal home, each individual has a $250,000 exemption of gain that they don't have to report. So if you buy your home for $200,000 and you sell it for $500,000, that's a $300,000 gain. As a single person, you could eliminate $250,000 of that gain, and you would only have to report income of $50,000. However, if you were taking a home office deduction, and over the course of the time that you took it, you took $10,000 in depreciation on the home, you now have to report a $60,000 gain because you have to recapture all of the depreciation you took on the home office. So that's a choice that each individual would have to look at and decide on their own if they wanted to risk that. If they felt they were going to be in their home, that was a home that they are planning to stay in for, you know, the remainder of their life, then they might decide to take the depreciation knowing that they won't have to recapture it later. So that's a situation that you'd have to discuss with your CPA and decide what would work out best for you. But that is essentially the three different parts of a home office deduction.
Great, great. I think that you explained it perfectly, and I'm glad you cleared that up. And like you said, you don't have to take those if you don't want to. Whichever, you can take them. You don't have to take them, and you don't have to take all of them, all or none, that type of thing. You can choose whichever ones you want to do. So, as far as should you start a home-based business for the tax advantages alone?
You know, that's kind of an interesting question. There certainly are a lot of advantages and deductions that you can take when you do have a home-based business. But I would never base a decision on just one item alone. There's a lot of different situations that it might not be right for an individual, but I can certainly say that it would be a big part for me knowing all the deductions that I could take, that I couldn't take doing it, you know, working for a company rather than on my own and it being a home-based business, that would be a major factor in me deciding whether to do a home-based business or work for a company.
Gotcha. Okay. Kind of a loaded question. I just wanted to get your personal opinion on that. So,
sure.
How about... you know, a CPA such as yourself that works for a firm or owns their own firm versus, you know, the person there at Walmart or at the mall or, you know, H&R, I'm not going to say H&R Block, but those type of businesses where they're only open a couple of months a year and they seem to pop up and there's a guy standing out on the street with a little, in a Statue of Liberty thing waving at you, come get your taxes done. You want to give a little bit of your thoughts on that?
Well, a lot of times you really do get what you pay for. Sometimes people say, okay, H&R Block or the Hewlett-Jackson or the Place in Walmart are going to be possibly a little bit cheaper, maybe quicker, more, easy access. There's a lot of reasons to go to those types of places, but when you do, you're risking putting your financial and your taxes in the hands of people that are really only educated a small amount in what you've already said is a huge IRS tax code. And I have to say, I don't know all the tax code. I've been working in a public accounting firm for about 12 years now, and I still don't know all the tax code. But the thing with working with a CPA or CPA firm is you not only get my experience, but you get the experience of everybody, all of the colleagues that I work with. And going with a CPA firm, you generally have people within the firm that specialize in different areas. So if there is an area that you're thinking of going into, most likely there's going to be at least one person in that office, even if it's not maybe the CPA that you deal with on a regular basis. There will be somebody in that office who does specialize in that and that your CPA can go to for guidance and advice to help you. So you really have the experience of a bunch of people rather than just the one person who is now doing the return, and you will only see that one time, because most likely you're not going to see that same person each year when you go to the small little kiosk or wherever you might go. It's going to be a different person every year. So that's another advantage with the CPA firm, is you build a relationship with an individual, and they get to know you and your situation and can help build tax advice around helping, you know, with your specific situation to help you get the most out of the tax code and the deductions.
So the better they know you and better you know them, the more education and help and training. And then I think also, too, it's probably a lot faster year after year, because they have a lot of information on you already that they're ready to, you know, they know your system or how the system that you use to do your taxes or whatever. So it's a lot quicker and less painful, maybe second, third years down the road, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Clients that I've been dealing with for years, I know things to watch for. I know things, and I can, as I see, like I'll see things that have changed, and I'll be like, oh, hey, what's this? You know, tell me about this. How can I? And then we'll discuss how we can make that better and how it would best work. Maybe they're doing it one way, and another way will give them a much greater benefit as far as a, you know, reduction in tax liability. And so we'll steer it in that direction. So certainly the relationship you build with the CPA, whether it would be myself in my firm or whatever CPA you decide to go with, that you should plan to stay with them a long term, because it's that relationship you build with them that really in the long run helps you with your taxes.
Well, that kind of just goes right into my next question. So planning on that, how do you find a CPA? Should you interview them, or should you get a referral, or, you know, how would one go about finding a good CPA?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to do things nowadays. You've got the internet where you can, you know, Google and search CPA in your area. But really, to know that you're getting somebody that you can know and trust, referrals are absolutely the best way to go, in my opinion. Just like yourself, you came to me based on the relationship we built in NC and Clarksville Networking Group, and then through that relationship and ours, then you have referred other people to me, and then they have referred people to me because of the relationship that I've built with them. So it's, to me, that's the best way to find a CPA, is to go with to somebody that you know and trust and say, who do you use? What, you know, what are they doing for you, and could you possibly get me their information so I can talk with them? And my firm, we offer half-hour free consultation, so you can come and ask questions and get to know me, and I can get to know you, and it can be something that we decide, is this going to be the right relationship or not? And I think that's the best way to go.
Great, great. So can you work with people anywhere in the country, or just Tennessee, or just Clarksville, or would you prefer, you know, what is your preference there?
Well, actually, I have clients pretty much all over the globe. I work with people in Tennessee, Georgia, Michigan, Maryland. I have somebody that's moved to California that I still do their taxes for. I actually have somebody who both him and his wife is in Dubai, and they email me their documents to do their taxes. So it's become an internet world where it's easy for us to do things online and through email, phone, and fax. So that is certainly something that I can do, but sometimes people like to have where they can go in and have a face-to-face with somebody. So it's really the preference of how comfortable the individual feels in having the long-term relationship or the face-to-face, and I'm comfortable with doing either.
Excellent. Great. Let's see here. So the firm you work for is Brown & Associates. That's correct?
Yes.
And do you offer any kind of training and education, or do you have any suggestions about training and education on this topic of home-based business and taxes?
Generally, what we offer is just kind of what I mentioned. It's the consultation. Okay. And then as we, you know, if you were to choose to come to our firm, we then, like I said, we build that relationship and start offering suggestions based on your particular situation and things. And each year we try and look at what your particular situations are that year, things that are happening. Do you have a child turning 17? You're going to lose a child tax credit next year. So maybe we need to increase your withholdings or your estimated taxes to make up for that change in your tax situation. So ours is where we don't necessarily offer training classes or anything. We try and base everything we do based on your specific needs.
Oh, okay. Great. Hobby versus legitimate business. Talk about that real quick. I know that's a big one with the IRS. I've got some rules about if it's a hobby or not.
Yes. The IRS will look at a home-based business and try and determine, are you in this business to actually make a profit, or is it more of a hobby for you? And the way that they do that is looking at the last 5 years, they're going to look to see if 3 of those years you've had a profit or a loss. And if you continue to carry a loss for too many years, they could come in and say, you know, this business looks more like a hobby to me. You just continue to carry losses and not really having any profits. So we're going to classify this as a hobby, and then therefore, when the different rules with a home-based business and one that's a legitimate profit-earning business, when you have a loss year, like for say, it's usually the first couple of years, you generally have a loss when you're starting a business. You have to build up your clientele and things like that. So you're not always generating enough income to cover the expenses of the business. All of those losses are deductible against any other income that you make. They basically offset that income. If it's classified as a hobby, they make you report 100% of your income, but they only let you take your expenses up to the amount of that income, and they push those deductions onto your itemized deductions, and they classify them as miscellaneous that are subject to a 2% floor. And really quickly, what that means is if your adjusted gross income is $50,000, you have to spend more than $1,000 before you can deduct a dollar. So they're going to limit those expenses to only what you've earned. So let's say you earned $2,000. They're going to limit your expenses to $2,000, and then they're going to make you subtract that $1,000 off the top, so you're only getting a $1,000 deduction. So now you're losing a lot of things. So some of the things that we do to make sure in those first few years that you're not going to be classified as a hobby is we'll take a look after a few years. If you're still doing a loss, we'll look and say, well, you're pretty close this year. You're down to just $1,000 loss this year. Why don't we take away some of these expenses and actually show maybe a $100 profit instead? Because then you're gonna show a profit, and then we expect that you will show a profit next year because you continue to grow and keep you out of that hobby classification and losing the deductions altogether.
Gotcha. Okay. Can somebody that was a hobby or classified as a hobby become a legitimate business down the road? I mean, if they do lose that, or I mean, what's the qualification to get back on track for that?
Well, if they kind of look at that same scenario, if you start having a profit 3 out of those 5 years, then we could work to reclassify you as a legitimate business and then start carrying that back on the Schedule C rather than okay. as those itemized deductions.
Gotcha.
So we just, you know, we want to have that 3 out of 5 year profit so we could get you reclassified as the other rather than the hobby.
Okay, great, great. Is there any kind of, you know, software that you recommend or any kind of, I don't know, is there books you can buy or workbooks or something you can use to maybe keep track of this thing or get yourself started if you're just getting going with a home-based business? Do you have any recommendations on that?
Well, actually, there's a book that you gave me, Michael, that tax-free wealth book. I haven't gotten all the way through that, but it certainly does have some great tips in it, ways to start changing your thinking and your mentality on things to show you how to kind of start switching how you do things so you can make them deductible. And then there's some great apps out there for keeping track of receipts, keeping track of mileage. If you're not an app person, I know just a simple notebook for mileage works. Also Home Depot, Home Office, Staples, those kinds of places have mileage books, things like that that you can use. If you're really into programs, as far as keeping track of your income and expenses, QuickBooks can be a great small business program to help you keep track of your income and expenses, keep track of your bank account balance, make sure your cash flow, and then to have a way to look and see what your profitability is for the year throughout the year. So there's a variety of different things that can be helpful to
great.
To people
thanks
to
for that information.
Out.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add before we close up shop for the night?
Just that don't be afraid of taking deduction. Get with your CPA. Talk with them. There are a lot of things that you can do, and I know a lot of times people are leery or skeptical to do it because they're afraid of being audited. But if you have the documentation, if you have the receipts, if you have your mileage log, if you have for the home office, take a picture of your office. Show that it's a room that's set apart for the business. All these things help to basically, you know, audit-proof your return. So even if you were audited, the deductions, the things that you've taken will stand and won't be, you know, taken back. Don't be afraid to take a deduction just because you're afraid to be audited. Take advantage of the things that are out there and available.
Great. So there? Hello, Cindy?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were cutting a little bit out there. So, you know, we're about 5 minutes over here, that's okay. We have plenty of time, and I just want to make sure that people can get in touch with you. Is there a way that they can get anybody that has a question offline or somebody maybe want to use your service? How can they get in touch with you real quick?
Absolutely. My office number is 931-647-2486, and my email address is cindy.cleaver@brownbrownandassociates.com. That's cindy.cleaver@brownbrownandassociates.com. I hope I spelled that right. I was doing that off the top of my head.
That's okay. And they can go to the website for Brown Brown and Associates, which is just www.brownbrownandassociates, just the way it sounds, brownbrownandassociates.com, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we're okay. Also on Facebook, brownbrownandassociates.com.
Excellent. Okay. We'll link to that in the show notes as well. So I'm gonna real quick. If anybody has a question, you think we can see if anybody does, and see if you can answer it.
Sure.
Okay. I'm gonna take it off mute now. Does anybody out there have a question for Cindy? Real quick, maybe some tax question that's been on your mind for your whole entire life that you need answered tonight. Okay, anybody?
One.
Go ahead.
This is Art. I have yet to start selling AMS oil. This is my first call. I'm looking to get into it. And when would some of these apply to me as far as, the tax stuff? Now, I haven't turned in my taxes yet this year. I just getting back my W-2s and stuff. But, at what point do you have to be in this 6 months, 3 months? Do you have to sell X amount of stuff before you can start claiming this on your taxes?
Actually, the IRS lets you take what's called startup costs. And so as you're investigating a new business, and so you spend maybe money to travel to a conference, or you start, you decide this is something you want to do, so you start, I think Michael mentioned, you start decorating your car, or you start doing things like that. They call them startup costs, and they let you take up to $5,000 of it. You can elect to take up to $5,000 that year that you spend those expenses. Anything above that, they have you amortize over a 15-year period. So as soon as you start, start spending money to investigate and or to actually get into the business, that's the year that you can actually start taking deductions for it.
Okay.
And that's a great question. And as a matter of fact, I kind of got a true story here that is kind of unbelievable. But when David and Carol Bell were investigating AMS oil, they were not involved in the company or anything. They actually took a flight to Duluth, Minnesota, to look at the factory, make sure it was a real company, to meet Mr. Amatuzio. They weren't even AMS oil dealers yet. They did all this before they became AMS oil dealers. And I'm guessing, Cindy, correct me if I'm wrong, but all that whole trip and everything was a legitimate business expense because they, signed up afterwards and then built the business.
Absolutely, yes.
So, yeah. But basically, I tell people that first $15 or $30 they send off with their dealer application, that's usually the trigger right there. You're in business with $15, and including that $15 is part of your beginning of your business, and you can start from there. But certainly, if you really felt the need, AMS oil is a legitimate company. It's been around for 40 years. I don't think you need to fly to the company anymore. But some people are a bit, anal on that.
Right.
But anybody else we'll do one more question here. Anybody have a question? And that was a great question, by the way. I appreciate that, Glenn. Anybody else have a question? Three, two, one. Okay. Appreciate that. Cindy, thanks again for getting on the call tonight. I appreciate everybody else that's listening in. I hope you enjoy this. This is our weekly AMS oil dealer training call. Don't forget to share this with your own personal group. And if you need to get in touch with Cindy and have a question, I will definitely post her information on our website. With that, I hope everybody has a great week. Go out there and make some AMS oil happen. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Michael.
Good night, Michael.
Yep,
good
thanks.
Call.
Thank you.